The lines are open. 1-300-872-911. John McKenzie. Real music, real opinions. 4CA.
Well, ratepayers would have been not particularly thrilled to get their rates bill last week, and because most people are saying, my God, it's not giving any real peace at a time when everybody's short of a dollar. There's a little article here, page 6 of the Cairns Post today. Once again, this could be seen as a touch controversial given the financial situation of just about all of us. It's under the heading, Right Indigenous Input Key. Samuel Davis wrote in the Cairns Post, a new First Nations advisory group established by the Cairns Council will be closely scrutinised following the dissolution of a similar committee that wasn't working very well. That's the quote, wasn't working very well, according to councillors. Now, this First People's Advisory Committee has been scrapped in favour of a new body which will guide policy, procedures and projects relevant to First Nations peoples and give recommendations on Council's overdue Reconciliation Action Plan, which is in capital letters. Now, the First People's Advisory Consultants, consisting of 10 members, will meet twice a year with advisors receiving a flat rate of $150 per hour, with a cap of no more than $5,000 per member. Now, Division 2 Councillor Matthew Tickner said he hoped to see key performance indicators imposed on the new group. He said, quote, I think there were a lot of issues with relevant information going through the meeting, or was it just a meeting to have a meeting? Unquote, said Mr. Tickner. Division 9 Councillor Brett Olds echoed Mr. Tickner's comments regarding improved outcomes. Now, Brett said, quote, the old way wasn't working very well. I think just putting people on the committee because of the colour of their skin is not the way to go about it. We've got to make sure that we get the right people that actually do have that knowledge and that we're getting value for our money for the ratepayers, unquote, said Division 9's Brett Olds and Deputy Brett Olds. I've got him on the line. Is he set to go? Yes, he is. Brett, good morning.
Yeah, g'day, mate. This is a tad controversial, this one, isn't it? No one wants to talk about this kind of stuff.
Oh, is it deemed sensitive, is it?
I don't know. People just seem to walk on eggshells anytime you're talking about race or anything else. But the truth is, it's part of our business that we have to do. There's legislation out there. So if there's traditional owners that have ties to the land and you're going out, the DA comes in or you want to build a bridge over something, they have to be consulted. So that, I think that's why the First People's Advisory Committee was first put together years ago. And it was having an issue, all kinds of issues, like they couldn't get a quorum to a lot of meetings, people weren't turning up. And so for years, officers have been, how do we get people to turn up to get, because we have to have this input. We're legislated to make sure we're engaging with traditional owners, and how can we do it? Maybe we should pay them. And then there was arguments last term of council between us councillors and some of the officers saying, hey, you don't just pay someone to turn up just to make a quorum, so you can so you can tick a box and say you've met with traditional owners. We need to make sure this works. So there's been so much work and effort put into it. I lose sleep over this kind of stuff because we're not spending our own money. We're spending other people's money, the ratepayers' money, and you know, when you talk to people out there in the street, a lot of them are like, why are we spending anything? You know, we've had to come up with the First People engagement guidelines. So whenever there's a welcome to country, the group that does the welcome gets paid. And if there's a smoking ceremony, same thing. And then when we're utilising, going through that development applications and have to get that advice, you have to pay people for that advice. So we said, well, they've come up with this way. It's not going to be called the First People's Advisory Committee anymore. It's going to be the First People's Advisory Consultants. And I just said, look, as long as we're not picking someone based on the melatonin level in their skin, make sure they actually have some credibility about them and they can, and we can get value for money, because this is something we have to do anyway. So let's make sure we're getting good input from these guys and it's the correct input, because there's nothing worse. Let's get it right up front and it will save us money in the long term. There's nothing worse than getting bad advice from bad consultants that don't bother showing up or don't really care. And then you have to come back and forth, and you're not spending a lot more money. Like, I think I told you on your show last year, the Ellis Beach Surf Lifesaving Club, we're trying to move our club to the other side of the highway. We've got federal money, we've got state money. Council's been a bit hard to deal with, but I'm conflicted, so I can't get in the middle of it because I used to be the president there for 2 years. But they had to have, as part of their development application criteria, they had to pay an Aboriginal from Sydney, and one come up locally, and I think two or three of them went up there, just kick some dirt around on site. They were there for 15 minutes, and they had to pay them $20,000.
No.
And, yeah, that's a true story, because they had to have their inputs. They ticked that box. And so I'm just like, I hate this kind of tokenism. If we need to have, and that's why Matthew Tickner said, Councillor Tickner said, we need to have KPIs around this group. I agree wholeheartedly.
Wow.
Because we are answerable to the public for every dollar we spend. And this includes these hard, difficult conversations to have. And I've never, you know, backed off from having a difficult conversation, because there's nothing, this has nothing to do with any form of racism or anything else. I think every dollar we spend has to be scrutinised. And the old committee wasn't working. Let's see if this new way of doing it, we get some better applicants and we get some better outcomes.
I only read a week or so ago about the amount of money that has to be paid for somebody delivering a welcome to country, and it was between $400 and $10,000 per welcome to country. This group that's coming together under the council auspices, 10 individuals there, when they deliver a welcome to country, what will they be paid?
Well, it'll depend on what level it is too. And I haven't got the First Peoples Engagement Guidelines in front of me. That was voted on last year. But yeah, they'll be paid something. But it's typically in the thousands, between, you know, $1,000 and $3,000, I believe, here in Cairns.
Wow.
I'm just guessing that number off the top of my head, but I believe that's where it's at. I'm pretty confident that's in that. But I'm like, yeah, it's not a bad gig if you can get it, because it takes you, like, what, it takes them 2 minutes, 5 minutes sometimes?
Mm.
And some of these welcome to countries, I went to one that the Queensland State Government put on, the last crocodile roundtable we had, and the person they got there literally told everyone in the room that wasn't Indigenous that we were foreigners. And that we need to be paid. They need to be paid for their intellectual property, including pharmaceuticals and everything else. And I'm just sitting there going, "What?"
Mm.
So the Queensland government is paying. And to be honest, the council paid this same group for our swearing-in ceremony, and they made similar comments that they have never ceded their sovereignty, and that we're a fake council. And I'm like, "We're paying this boy here," and some of them do a really good job, and some don't. And this person that did this both times, that we're paying them to just be insulted by them. And I'm just like, this is why I want KPIs around this, and I want to make sure we get the best outcome that we can, because if we weren't legislated to do this kind of thing, I don't think we would do it. So, but it's part of business as usual, unfortunately, John. It's just the world we're living in.
Well, especially when you've got in our government at the moment the most, well, influential Indigenous person, in my view, Jacinta Nampajinchip Price, saying, why do we have this welcome to country? It's our country. Why do we have to welcome ourselves or have ourselves welcomed? When we're talking about $10,000, that wouldn't be per person, surely. Would it be per group or per person?
Yeah, I believe it's per group. And so the group gets it, and they split up however they split up and divvy it up. But again, I'm with Jacinta on that. It's like, it just belittles you. You're being told you're a foreigner in your own country,
yes,
and you're being welcomed to your own country.
Yes.
And I'm like, there's some guys that do a great one that is very inclusive, but for the most part, it's really divisive. And I usually choose not to participate in any of this crap.
Mm.
And I just, if I don't have to, I'm like, guys, if we don't participate in it, it's not a thing.
Mm.
But every level of government is pushing it down our throats, and then you get Qantas and you get all these big businesses that come on and they back it and back it. But the true power, I've always said, is with the people.
Yes.
And if enough people just stop participating, you don't have to be angry about it.
Mm.
Just don't participate. Now, I had to vote on this. I get paid. I had to vote. And I looked at it and I said, you know what, the old way wasn't working, and this way could actually get us a saving.
Mm.
So I support it, but I said quite, you know, in the room, I'll be keeping an eye on this, because if it's not working, I'll easily turn on it. But no, with all the other stuff, I don't buy into it. I choose not to participate personally on a personal level.
Yes.
I just my own little silent protest, I guess. And if more of us did that, especially with the trying to rename capital cities and everything else and change history, I never forget your culture and never forget the past. And their culture is a beautiful culture, but you can't live in the past and you can't have a chip on your shoulder going forward. That doesn't help anyone, including the people with the chip on the shoulder. So, and that's for any race on earth, you know, because there's been a lot of bad stuff throughout history, but I do enjoy people celebrating their cultures, and I love that. But with this stuff, when you start, it gets divisive. I don't like that. It's used in a negative manner. And we need more positivity in the world, less negativity, mate. There's enough of that already.
Good on you, Brett. Thank you. That's Deputy Mayor Brett Olds, Division 9 Councillor.